And he said, let me pray for you and we'll make everything all right. But finally he turned around and looked at me. He said, son, you are the head of this household. You need to stand up and you need to take your place as rightful authority over this household. He said, you need to pray for her. And at that point I tried to pray for her and I couldn't. He said, son, you haven't even turned your life over to God, have you? And I said, no, I haven't.
Stai gute. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear the rest of Kim Chiltowski's story. Kim is from the Eastern Band of Cherokee in North Carolina. We pick up where he left off when he was caught off guard by a little girl's question.
The kids were staying with her mother and father most of the time. But when I moved in with her, I got to dealing with the kids quite a bit. And one morning we was eating breakfast, and the youngest one at this time was 4 years old. She come up and she said, do you know that it's a sin to live together without being married? And I looked at her and she looked at me and it's like, you know, out of the mouth of babes, you know, what do you say? It's like, you sit there and you kind of wonder, how do you answer this question? We looked at each other and I looked at her and said, what do you think? And she looked at me and kind of like, oh, kind of excited. And we said, we'll talk about it later. But it made us start thinking at that time. And then we decided to get married. And we decided that it was time to tell my mother and father. My wife at that time had two kids from a separate marriage. It was an abusive relationship. And she was, it was not a good relationship to raise kids in. So whenever I went to tell my mom and dad that I was going to get married, my mom and dad, ran her in the ground, told me all these bad things about her and what she's doing and who she is and that it's not right. You're going to have a ready-made family, and if something happens, she's going to leave you with the kids, and you're going to have to raise kids by yourself and all this other stuff. And I was willing to accept that because in my mind, this is who God had given me to take care of, and this is what I needed to straighten my life up. In between that time when we met and after the child talked to us about getting married, and then I went to talk to my mom and dad, I decided to give up alcohol. I was a bad alcoholic, and I always thought to myself that I could quit at any time. But whenever we finally decided to get married, I asked God, I said, you're going to have to help me. I'm going to quit this. This is not good for the kids. This is not good for her. If I'm going to change my life, I'm going to change it completely. And so I just quit drinking altogether, and there was no turning back at all. As a matter of fact, a little while after that, just the smell of alcohol actually almost made me sick. But anyway, went to my mother and father's and told them that we was going to get married. And my mother and father actually was totally against it at that time. But my mind was set, and this is what I wanted. And I felt this was what I needed for her and for me to raise these kids in an environment with the mother and the father. So, after about an hour talking to my father, I finally got tired of listening to it. And so I stood up and I said, I come up here to get your blessings on the marriage. And it seems like I'm not going to get it, but that's fine. I understand both ends, you know, don't want this to happen, but I think this is for the betterment of everyone. So I just tell you now, I am going to get married. And this is who I'm going to marry. And we've already picked the date also. They said, well, when are you going to get married? And I said, on the 8th of February. And they looked at me real funny. And they said, well, why did you even come up and ask? And I said, well, I just thought that I'd get you blessings. And they said, well, then they started putting us down again. And finally I turned around and said, we're going to get married on the 8th. And we are going to get married in your house, because that's just the way that I thought this was going to end up. and we are going to get married in your house, and that we're going to have a pasture, and we're going to have something to eat and everything up here. And even though it's going to be in your house, you don't have to be here if you don't want to. But this is where I want to get married, because this is where I was raised, and this is where my family is going to get started. And we went through with it, and everything was all happy, and, you know, seemed like it was play-like, but everything was going good. We ended up getting married, and it was just right recently after that, my wife started having fear because of her childhood and because of her abusive relationship. She had fear and anxiety and just problems dealing with a lot of things. At one point after we got married, she had this, and I didn't know what to do for her. I couldn't help her. She said, "Pray for me, pray for me, and it'll go away, and it'll help." And I didn't know how to pray. So we went to a friend of hers that was always helping her, and his name was Shirley Simmons. But we went to talk to him, and he said, "Let me pray for you, and we'll make everything all right." Well, finally, he turned around and looked at me. He said, "Son, you are the head of this household. You need to stand up, and you need to take your place as rightful authority over this household." He said, "You need to pray for her." And at that point, I tried to pray for her, and I couldn't. He said, "Son, you haven't even turned your life over to God, have you?" And I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, let me help you." And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at that time. I realized that each and every day we commit a sin. We can't go one day without sin. Jesus Christ, when I realized that my life was nothing but prideful actions, sinful ways, and just my own way, I realized that Jesus Christ paid for all my sins, and upon the cross, he shed his blood for me. Jesus Christ paid for my sins once. It doesn't have to be done again. You just have to accept that your sins are forgiven, and that the blood of Jesus covers you and makes you righteous to stand in heaven in the presence of God. I still didn't know how to pray for my wife at that time, but he said, "Son, let me help you." He said, "I'll give you guidance, and I'll help you to show you." He said, and that was my beginnings of walking with God. At that point, everything was, I wouldn't say good. There was a lot of things that happened, but all this time, from that time forward, me and her turned to God. And we turned together as a family. And I learned that my rightful place and authority was to be the head of the household. At that point, I learned and I studied, because if the girls at this time they was 9 and 7 at that time. I realized that if they needed help from me, I had to know what I was doing. I had to know what I was talking about. So at that point, I realized that, my children needed me at that point. My wife needed me. And so we started walking, and we started going to church. My children now are 26 and 24. And we believe that we've raised them in a good Christian home. We never drank. We never partied. We went to church as much as we could. Christ is the main authority. And that, as I am head of the household, I need to turn to Jesus Christ to help me in everything that I need to do, from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, to prepare me for the day's events or to anything that comes about. We've also tried to have children of our own, and we couldn't do it because we had miscarriages 3 times. So, we never could have children of our own. But in the process also too, we was foster parents. We got to see a lot of wrongs done to children. In one of these instances where we took care of a kid, my wife took care of a girl, and this girl always remembered my wife for the way she talked to her, the way she talked about God, and knew that she would be a good mother. And this girl had already had 4 children of her own, and she was pregnant again. She was 4 months pregnant, and she approached my wife, and she said, I would like for you to adopt my child. And there was no question whatsoever. My wife come and ask if we wanted to do it. And I said, when will it be here? So we adopted the child. And, the mother, partied heavily, did drugs, and was constantly even in jail. She tried to abort the child twice, and me and my wife just prayed for the baby, prayed for a healthy baby. When she had the baby, we was there, and the baby was born healthy. There was nothing wrong with her. It was a little girl, and we named her Kanaiwa Cree. Me and my wife are true, it doesn't seem like 20 years, but, we look back and we think it sure has gone by fast. We try to walk with God. It's good. Every day is rewarding. Everyone should understand that, Jesus Christ paid for your sins. Even though you've committed the most horrendous sin in the world, He'll give you forgiveness. If you just turn to Him and ask for forgiveness, and He'll take you back in and treat you like His long lost son or His long lost daughter. God's love is so perfect and so wonderful. Jesus did pay out for all our sins for everyone who will turn to Him. So amazing, so wonderful, such love. And He did it once, and it doesn't have to be done again.
Have you turned to God yet? Like Kim said, it doesn't matter what you've done. God will forgive you and receive you if you'll place your trust in Jesus Christ. He is Savior of the world. Over 2,000 years ago, outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ suffered and died on a cross, bearing God's judgment for our sins upon Himself. 3 days later, He was raised from the dead, proving that God's justice was satisfied. We read in the Bible in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Would you like to know more? You can write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. Our web address is withoutreservation.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? Then download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell. So be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.